Moncrief on News Talk.
Time now to tell me why. And every week at this time, Graham Finlay joins the News Talk to answer a question that has perplexed our listeners. Today's question is it possible to milk every animal? Graham joins us now on the line. Graham, how are you today?
Not bad.
Is it possible to milk every animal?
It is possible to milk every animal, almost by definition. All mammals are determined by having mammary glands, which is the ability to be milked, teats, right? But not only, only very few animals are actually milked in terms of commercial milk or for human consumption.
Right. So it seems to be all about cow milk, but they're not the only ones, are they?
No. But cows are the vast majority of animals which are milked, and especially in Western Europe, in North America. Now, in other places, like in India, where water buffalo are very popular and they consume a huge amount of dairy in India, they take up a big percentage. But after that, it falls off very quickly. Sheep, goats, and then more recherche animals like reindeer and donkeys and horses.
And you talked about cows being the number one, but also water buffalo, goats, sheep, camels, donkeys, they are milked. An animal which seems to be notable by its exception are pigs. What is the story there?
Well, I mean, as with a number of animals, like take a look at your dog or cat, the nipples just really aren't super good for milking. And so the only reason we don't milk pigs, because apparently their milk is delicious, it makes great cheese, it's very close to human milk, as close as cow milk. But if you look at the nipples on a pig, there's lots of them, and they're very, very small. Plus, sows don't really like being milked. They can get quite aggressive, and as you know, pigs are big, and they can bite, and it's just it's not easy to do. Apparently, you know, really comes down to technology. We have well-developed milking technology, including robot milking machines for cows and even goats and sheep. But with pigs, you're probably going to have to go to the breast pump you might use, you know, after a human gives birth, right, to milk women's breasts for breast milk. So, you know, basically, it's not really a runner. They've actually made some pig cheese, but it costs something like $1,200 a pound.
Right. How have cows become so dominant, given that they're, you know, milk is everywhere in the mammal kingdom? How have cows become so dominant?
Well, it's a really, really interesting story because, in fact, us drinking milk is quite strange because we, especially when we initially started drinking it about 10,000 years ago, we couldn't tolerate it very well. And so, as people have pointed out, the early people who were drinking milk would have farted a lot because, you know, we just didn't have the lactase, which is the way we can break down, which all, you know, sort of young human beings have, so they can digest mother's milk, which allows them to break down the lactose, which is a sugar present in milk. And so almost all species mammals have this lactase, which allows them to break it down, and then they lose it as they become adults. And you know, adult cows don't drink cow milk and so forth. But we domesticate probably first goats and sheep and then cows in the Fertile Crescent in the Middle East in West Asia. And then through that, it spreads to Europe. And to India, but not so much farther into East Asia. And we developed this mutation, which in some of us, which allows us to break it down, it's called lactase persistent, and it means the production of lactase persists after you're weaned and after you stop consuming breast milk. And that's very unevenly distributed around the world. Now, everybody can drink some milk, but if you drink a lot of milk, it isn't very pleasant. And that's why in China, for example, where they're trying to encourage the elderly to drink a lot more milk, and Ireland exports vast amounts of baby formula to China, but that's not probably what they're drinking. People were really resistant to it because they associate it with disease almost, but certainly discomfort.
Right. The cow, though, himself is a remarkably compliant beast in this, isn't he? And you know, seems to be very happy to be milked.
That's true. I mean, so with the cows, just like dogs are descended from wolves, cows are descended from this marvelously named and marvelous-looking beast, the aurochs, which died out in the 17th century, but was a sort of wild cow and was a lot more ornery than our milk cows today. But we're able to, they're very good for selective breeding. And so very quickly, people bred a bunch of animals which were producing a lot more milk, but were also a lot more docile and really wanted to be milked, partly because of the discomfort they might face. And so So it just really lent itself to not just ease of production, and of course it's a lot easier to milk something with a big old udder on it, but also huge milk production. I mean, much more milk comes out of a cow than would come out of a goat or a sheep. And their teats, the udders, are just really perfect for milking. And so that is probably the main reason. And there are a lot of debates out there, I should acknowledge. Not only do I realize that I'm probably being listened to by professional dairy farmers, so tell me what I'm going wrong, but also people who might be quite critical of dairy farming, who point out that it requires cows to have calves, and then you have to take the calves away. But a Holstein, which is the dominant breed of dairy cow, at least this is what dairy farmers argue, produces way more milk than any calf could consume. And so that is part of the reason about why we really shifted to milk. The amount the cows can produce 100 pounds of milk a day, which is why it's so dominant.
A listener in Galway, Barry in Galway, has a great question for you. Are we the only animal that drinks another animal's milk?
No, it's a really great question. Now, we're the only animal which does it on such a scale. But in fact, we've seen that other animals, whether they're orphaned or whether they're just sneaky, do steal milk from cows and even seals by sort of sneaking up on them and having a hit. Hedgehogs and rats, but also even some birds will steal cow's milk. And of course, the milk you get from a seal is what we all want to be drinking. This is the hooded seal. Its milk is our milk, or, you know, human milk and cow milk is about 4% milk fat. Seal milk is 60% milk fat. It's like they're you're milking ice cream out of these seals. And we're not the only animal. There are some mammals which produce quite milk-like substances with the same proteins and fat content, which are not mammals at all. There are pigeons which produce crop milk at the bottom of their throats and then regurgitate it into their young ones' mouths. There are fish which develop a sort of slimy coating, which then, you know, their young lick off. There are cockroaches which produce milk in their wombs, because the few cockroaches which give live birth to baby cockroaches produce milk which is remarkably similar to human milk.
Has anybody ever managed to get some of that and try it?
It's not really commercially viable, Tom, but people have. I'm not sure if they tried it. Now, these were scientists studying cockroaches mostly to get rid of them, but they did, you know, separate the milk from the cockroaches. I'm not sure if they tasted it, but they did break it down and analyze it into its component parts, and they got a lot more. They found that it was really, really similar to human milk. Now, these are only certain kinds of cockroaches, but right now it's really hard to separate them. We've only analyzed about 5% of the species' milks in the world. So there's a lot of room for discovery here.
Right. A thing that really strikes me when you look at them is the huge variety, or how the milks differ from goats to sheep to camels and indeed pigs. They're quite different makes up of sometimes sugar, but also fat content from one to the other.
Yes, definitely. So you've got the seals, and that's because they do all their nursing in for only 4 days. So the baby seal pups are born, they nurse for 4 days, that's it. They're done. But by that time, they're twice as big, because the seals need to develop a lot of blubber to live on ice floes and in the Arctic seas, right? So that, you know, the evolution really focuses on the length of breastfeeding as a way of determining what kind of milk you're going to be giving off. And so at the other end of the scale, black rhinos who nurse their young for 2 years have very infrequent young, have almost skim milk as their milk, you know, way down, you know, minus 1% milk fat. And so humans are a lot more like black rhinos than they are like seals. Other species, again, which might leave their young for long periods of time, like rabbits, some rabbits, you know, who are off foraging all day and only feed a couple times a day for very short bursts. Well, they have much higher protein milk. And in fact, they have the highest protein milk of any species. And again, camels, you mentioned camels, you can get commercially available camel milk in Dublin. It's very expensive. And that's because camels, you know, which have a relatively low fat content because they need a lot of water to prevent dehydration among their young and among the people who drink camel milk. But they also are really tough to milk. You have to have a camel calf sucking at the teat while you squeeze the other ones, and they only come out in 90-second bursts. But you can still get a decent amount of camel milk. But again, you know, they're not commercially farming it in Ireland, and so it's pretty expensive here. And then finally, people are pushing the World Food Program, people to think about adopting another animal besides the cow, because cows are quite labor-intensive, as many listeners will be aware of, and maybe not good for poor families to have. So they have llamas as their recommended animal, these sort of slightly less easier maintenance animals as well. So there's a huge range of different components in different animal milks, some of which would be, like camel milk, allegedly much, much better for human beings to drink.
Right, but harder to get. One really struck me, the Eastern cottontail rabbit. If it was feeding two different babies, it could feed them two different types of milk.
That's actually a wallaby, I should say.
A wallaby?
So a wallaby is a sort of type of kangaroo. And they may have joeys, which is one of my favorite baby animal names, of two different ages. And so it might have an adult, an older joey, right, who's getting more protein, and a younger one who's getting more sugar and milk fat for growth. And so one might be in a pouch and one might be outside, and they'll be feeding on two separate nipples at the same time but get two totally different milks. And they're one of the very few animals, mostly marsupials, which are capable of doing that.
That is a showstopper. I have a question which I can't understand remotely for you. Could you ask Graham if persistent lactase in humans is a form of neoteny? Is
that neo?
Neoteny? Neoteny?
I'm going to have to look that one up myself. I'm not a genetic scientist, but it is a mutation. And again, it's quite puzzling how that mutation appears in some places and not in others. You'd think that all human beings who are really dependent on milk would have it. But in Mongolia and other parts of Northern Asia, you know, where they drink a lot of horse milk, and horses are not that easy to milk if you look at their teats. But they use a lot of horse milk. They even ferment it into sort of a mildly alcoholic sort of drink. But they have, for the most part, it's not very prevalent in that population. And it seems like it is, once it's introduced, it's evolutionarily successful. But in many cases, it may just be that not enough people with the mutation were introduced into the population. They're actually tracking evolution in real time in South America, where there's a group which eventually mixed with some of the conquistadors. And since then, the lactase persistence has really come on sort of gradually over recorded time over the last few hundred years. But I don't know that particular term, but I'll look it up and I'll definitely put it out,
please,
on Twitter after we're done.
Great. Who would have thought there was so much in it? Graham, thank you very much for joining us. Fascinating as always. If you have a question you want to ask Graham, just send an email to afternoon@newstalk.com.
Moncrief on Newstalk.